Almighty God, we have heard your words to us in Holy Scripture and know your call to each of us. In every age, you have spoken through the voices of prophets, pastors, and teachers. We give you thanks that over the years, we have heard you speak to us through the preaching of your word in this place. Grant that those who have heard your word preached in this place may proclaim in their lives the crucified and risen Christ. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen. Please be seated. In 2008, which now suddenly seems like a very long time ago, I had an opportunity to spend a number of days on the island of Iona. Many of you will know that Iona is found near the bottom left corner of Scotland and is one of a number of islands that skirt about the edge of this part of the British Isles. You may also know about the Abbey there, which is still very much in active use. It's a key landmark on the horizon and is what draws your eye and your attention as the ferry approaches. One wants to know more about it. Clearly, it is the anchor, the foundation of many aspects of life on Iona. I went to Iona in great anticipation of experiencing pilgrimage, prayer, possibility. And I was not disappointed. I had time to slow down my entire life to a walking pace, and the experience changed me. The island of Iona is not a large island. It doesn't have a large number of landmarks. There are hills, but they are more a rise of expectation than large hills. There are few trees, there are few buildings. There's much open land, and the wind and the rain seem to love this. They meet there almost every day, it seems. But there's something about this place. Perhaps it's the presence of that abbey, or perhaps it's the influence of the abbey's founder, St. Columba. Or perhaps because it is the burial site of monarchs, or perhaps it is simply the number of pilgrims that arrive each day, or perhaps it's just that kind of place where most folks find ways to slow down and listen to the Holy Spirit. But it's no ordinary place. It seems to be somewhere that the Celts might describe as a thin place, where the distance between God and the seeker seems to be much thinner. And we need those places in our lives, and to notice them, and to pay them a little more attention. On my pilgrimage and walking on the island, I had the opportunity to explore a good variety of places beyond the abbey, places that simply caught my attention. Amongst those, I went to the beach, which, as the story goes, is where Columba is said to have come ashore on his arrival from Ireland. He'd been encouraged to leave Ireland. Encouraged is an easier description, at least. And he left with a few fellow pilgrims. They pulled up the Curragh on the shore and seemed to recognize a place of rest, a place of welcome, a place of encounter, a place of home. We'll never know all of what it was that they discovered that day, but it has continued to influence and shape the church around the world ever since, including us, this congregation, over many years. For I think Columba discovered that same feeling, recognition, encounter, that was felt by those who founded this parish in the diocese many years ago. A sense of calling to respond to the grace and peace of God's presence in our lives. Holiness that informs and shapes us. This prayer is attributed to St. Columba, and perhaps it fits into those things that inform and shape us, and feels fitting to hear tonight. He wrote, O Lord, grant us that love which can never die, which will enkindle our lamps, but not extinguish them, so that they may shine in us and bring light to others. Most dear Savior, enkindle our lamps that they may shine forever in your temple. May we receive unquenchable light from you, so that our darkness will be illuminated and the darkness of the world be made less. This illuminating light was known in Cuthbert's life and in this parish church. This light of God that challenges darkness, even the darkness in this world and our own lives. These were not mere words, but described the relationship and the faith of Columba that influenced seemingly every aspect of his life. And in turn, it also shaped this church. For St. Columba was more than a name related to this congregation, but a guiding influence. Columba knew what it was to begin a ministry that would spread and transform and witness to the presence of the kingdom of God that Jesus spoke so richly about. On my desk in my office, I have a stone from that same beach that I visited on Iona, much like the stone that has sat on the credence table here for so many years. That stone on my desk reminds me of Iona, but much more than that, it reminds me of what ministry is all about, what my calling, what my response to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus might be. It reminds me of the depth of the love of God and the invitation to constantly live into that. Columba knew this love, and it transformed him. He knew that this love would never end. And that is important to focus on this evening, even at this final service to conclude the ministry of St. Columba's. We cannot lose sight of that gift of God's love with us and around us tonight and always, for it never ends. As we look back over the life of this parish, we know well that all those who have gone before us trusted and knew this hope of God with us, revealed to us in Jesus. And it was central to every act of worship and decision made, including our worship here and now. Or as we heard from the passage from 1 Corinthians a little while ago, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And so we bring to mind so many people as we gather this evening. We offer enormous thanks to Georgina for her ministry, for her pastoral presence, for her prayers, for her words of wisdom, for all this and much more over the last while. We also give thanks to past clergy who have offered the sacraments, prayed, given pastoral care, opened the words of Scripture to new understanding, baptized, prepared for confirmation, presided at weddings. They all served with great care and compassion. We give thanks for their ministry. But there were so many others who gave great leadership here, who gave generously of their time and their talents and their treasure. Those who were wardens or treasurers or cared for the property, people who taught Sunday school, who greeted at the doors, who organized parish picnics, people who provided music, sang with great gusto, those who invited others, prepared the church for worship services, and prayed regularly for this community. Those who were baptized here, married here, or were buried from here. Those who organized parish suppers or community gatherings or Christmas celebrations. So many people whose faith inspired them to live into what St. Columba invited. We give thanks to God for all of these people and so many more. All those who discovered this church to be a thin place, if you will. A place where the distance between God and us seems thinner. St. Columba is credited with saying, "My dearest Lord, be thou a bright flame before me, a guiding star above me, a smooth path beneath me, a kindly shepherd behind me, today and forevermore." These words were known and lived out in this parish and will continue to be lived out. We are saddened, it is true, that this is the concluding liturgy of ministry here, but so grateful for God's steadfast foundation, God's guidance, God's grace, God's blessing, God's purposes. For this will never leave this place or our lives. May we know this blessing all the days of our lives and even beyond that. It does not end with this service tonight. For I believe, and I suspect so do all of you, that the Holy Spirit will continue to move in our lives and be that bright flame and guiding star known by our words and our actions beyond tonight, so that all that St. Columba taught will encourage and sustain us. With deep thanks to God for so many people, including St. Columba, and the ministry that has been offered here, we offer our appreciation and enormous gratitude. Amen.